I don't need it on, it's done.
It's on.
It's on?
It's on.
Tuesday afternoon is going to be early enough for you to get your request.
So did you, what committee are you on in WCC?
Energy.
Energy.
20 years. Yeah, it was, sat through the board meeting, that was interesting. They talked about the building and weather, you know. The renovations and all that. Yeah, it was pretty much.
Do you remember offhand how their partnership fund, they added more business partners or less, or they talk about that?
I don't recall talking about it.
We'll call this meeting to order, if we could please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the first item on our agenda, I need a motion to approve the minutes from the prior meeting.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. The next item, I need a request to approve the agenda, which will be amended as follows. The 10 o'clock discussion on broadband will be removed from the agenda. At that time, we will place Shad Cooper, fire warden for the bid, award bid on the Type 6 apparatus. In addition, the 1:30 discussion with the Sublet County Healthcare and the Sublet Center will be removed from the agenda as well. So if I could have a motion to approve the amended agenda as stated.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right, moving on. We have Mike Ken and Caleb Heiner to give us an update.
It's on. Oop, it was on.
Was it on?
It was. There you go.
Thank you.
Don't wake me up.
There you go.
Couldn't see you're live.
Go ahead and start.
All right. Well, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, thanks for having me. 3.5 years as the field manager here in Pinedale, I've never sat at this table and had a discussion with you. And, we sat across many other tables, but it's good to be here today. So we requested an update on our temporary non-renewable permits that the Sublet County Conservation District helped us out with writing the environmental assessment almost 2 years ago on. We have heard back from the board on the Office of Hearing and Appeals on the Western Watershed's appeal of that, and the judge has upheld us on everything, said that we followed the process correctly, and it was effective and an efficient way to do it. So right now, there's 30 days for the appellant to appeal back to the Interior Board of Land Appeals. That time frame will be over sometime around the first part of June.
So we'd like to say good job and thank you. That's very much appreciated.
Thank you very much. Couldn't have done it without Mike and his group there at the Sublet County Conservation District, and I think that's a wonderful partnership that we ventured out on with them. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I think this is probably the first time that a county and a conservation district have actually done an EA for BLM. I've asked around even at the national level, and nobody knows of any example of that. So we've kind of raised the bar a little bit here by doing that. So, Mike, what? Now let's get down to the real reason we're here.
All righty. so I guess just so everybody knows,
Caleb is leaving to go to the Warland BLM district office, and on behalf of my board and the conservation district and the county, I'll speak for my board. We do greatly appreciate the partnership that we formed in the last 3.5 years. It couldn't have been done without you taking a leap of faith in my staff, and when we said we could do it, believing in us, and I think you've done a lot for Sublette County. We got this TNREA. You got a fully processed grazing permit done, which is awesome, which hasn't happened in eons with the Pinedale BLM office. And my board greatly appreciates, you know, the partnership we have down the hall with not only you, but the rest of the field staff. So, Joel, if you...
Okay, Mike and Caleb, on behalf of Sublette County, we have, I think, with your help, made the most out of the concept of cooperating agency status, of working together with BLM, as well as working within our county natural resource plan. I mean, you and I have had numerous discussions. When something is coming up, you've called me and give me a heads up, and times it may or may not be right in line with the county plan, and we discussed it and we resolved it. And I think the whole idea of local governments working with the federal agencies within their county, it's all about developing a level of trust. I think that is the number one way to describe it, developing a level of trust to where we work together to better the decisions on the public land. So with that said, we have an award to present to you, Caleb, for your work with the county, and something you can take to the Warland office, hang on the wall, and I'll call the chairman of the county commission there and say, you go in there and look at that, and this is what your expectation is. So.
Oh, very good. Set the bar high.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joel.
You are appreciate it much. We really do.
Yeah, I'm supposed to cry for Sherry, but
I'm not. Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Joel, if you could we read that?
Sure, absolutely. It's an honor to read this. To Caleb Heiner, in recognition of your leadership to foster a positive working relationship with local governments and to improve natural resource management decisions, with appreciation from the Sublette County Commission and the Sublette County Conservation District.
Thanks again. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Caleb.
Thanks, Caleb. Luck.
Thank you.
We'll miss you.
Thank
we'll
you. Really appreciate it.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is report from Billy Pape. Billy, if you and your entourage would like to come forward.
First, today, you guys got to just kind of go over the activities. We're just fighting with weather, kind of, but doing a lot of cattle guard maintenance, trying to blade where we can, culvert maintenance. It's about, I don't know if you guys have any questions on daily activities.
I don't.
It was good. All right.
Okay, huh? I'm sorry. Yeah, I stole it. Take it and there it goes. I got two things in here.
And so I guess we'll move to Road and Bridge, or Rio Verde. I know Eric's got stuff.
So got stuff. I've just passed out the bid tab for the Sublette County, the 2019 Sublette County Chip Seal Project. We have one bidder, HK Contractors. $2,497,777. It's our recommended, it's our recommendation to award that project to HK.
Mr. Chairman, could they briefly go over the different projects?
Yes.
Different roads?
Yeah.
Yeah, this here is one of our major projects for next year. The this will be all our pavement maintenance, parking lots, for the road and bridge and all the buildings.
So the roads that we're going to chip seal are Big Piney Cowpad would be about the first 7 miles. All of the roads back in Shelter Park. The Horse Creek Road from the first 4 miles that we did in the last seven, so it'd be 11 miles. Pavazzo Subdivision Road. Fremont Lake Road. Glacier Hills Drive, Grant Lane, Industrial Site Extension, the Marbleton Landfill Road, the Mickelson Lane, Orchid Drive, Orchid Hill Park Circle, Paradise South, or Pinedale South, excuse me. Well, Pinedale South is not on it. It's Riverside, Quaker, back up in Shelter Park. We're going to do Skyline, 7 miles of Skyline, Stone Trail, and the Fairgrounds Access Road. So those are the roads that are going to be chip sealed this year. Last couple of years with the economy the way it was, we had tailed back quite a bit, and so we're a little higher this year, but it includes the parking lots for all of the county parking lots.
And crack sealed and sealed.
Yep.
There's some roads that were just crack sealed.
Yeah.
So is this within our estimate?
Yeah, this was right there.
So, Mr. Chairman, with only one bidder, it's pretty reasonable, or it's
that
all we got?
My estimate and the one that went in was $2.5 million.
Okay. Yeah, it is close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were talking about is companies are just, really busy, so that I think that's one of the reasons we only had one bid.
We normally only have two, but Thunder Mountain Slurry chose not to bid it this time around. So,
Mr. Chairman, yes, bear with me for a moment. Explain, if you could, what the units signify. I mean, the LS, I don't understand.
So LS is lump sum, and okay. LB is pounds, so it's pounds of crack seal. TN is tons. And that would be tons of oil. And then Suffolk County furnishes the aggregate, and they give us a price to apply that aggregate to the oil, and that's by square yard. So 9 square feet is a square yard. And again, the oil is in tons, and then the striping is all in linear feet.
Now, is this something that's going to be in the budget next year in terms of projects?
Yeah, and the way we always have to do is to get it done this year, we have to get the bid, get them started now. But yeah, this will be in our next budget.
So we would be awarding the bid, but the money would come out of next year's budget.
Yeah. Yes. It won't be done till fall.
Right.
But we've set the end of August for completion. We get into September, the weather. So
because of the temperatures, you gotta.
So even if they start, say, end of June, I don't know if they will or not, but
no payments will come out of.
No payments until the next budget. That was my point.
The 1st of July. So by accepting this, we are committing this money towards the budget in terms of
current
road and bridge projects. Okay.
Why? Just you talk about getting it done before winter. Is ever going to get somewhere ever going to get here so you can do that? I guess that's my question. I'm struggling. I'm sorry.
I know it's still at the end of the day. So
yeah.
It's winter right now.
Yes, it is.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the bid from HK Contractors for the 2019 Sublette County Chip Seal Project in the amount of $2,497,777.
Okay. Second.
Now, any discussion? I know Commissioner Noble, you were out for some of the explanation on this. Do you have any questions?
You may have already answered them, so forgive me, but the chip seal, I see Dry Basin, Reed's Pit, and North Beaver. Is that where HK is going to move in and make chips?
No.
Or they're already there?
We got them there. Yeah.
You're already there.
And,
okay.
And then Reed's.
Reed's, yeah.
That's
our deal with Century. The other ones, how did we acquire those there?
We didn't make them. It was from other projects that we still have left over.
Is that something you're going to try and start doing, is making chips?
Yeah, once we get caught up on the road base, sure. then we start making chips.
Okay. That's it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Commissioner Baker?
I have one question. So, with the $2,500,000 out there, are we going to be looking at cost overruns as these projects go forward, do you think?
We don't typically have cost overruns.
Don't typically.
And on this one, we will not.
We will not?
We will not.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, we have a motion and a second. I'll call for the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
A little more update. Plans went out yesterday for Boulder South. We're widening and putting an overlay on the millings and the chip seal that's there. And on Metal Arc and Iroquois, the bulk of the shoulder filling is done from the highway to Iroquois, and they've started up the hill yesterday. So I know that Jeff over with Teletrashers has talked to Jorgensen, and they still don't have their pipes across the road, and there's a deadline sometime next week, so we're trying to work through that, but it's still an issue.
Okay, on that Boulder South Road, when you say widening, you're just doing that portion that already has that load mill on it?
Correct.
What's the distance on that, just offhand?
I mean, is it a mile? It's 8,500 feet.
Okay, about a mile and a half.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Not going to do anything with the rest of the road?
Nope. Just blend in off the asphalt with crushed base to the base that's there.
The rest of it.
At some point, do you plan to do the same thing with that piece of that on the speedway? On the muddy speedway,
it's good.
We looked at it and we just kind of decided it just the benefit to cost ratio just wasn't there to overlay, because that one's got a really bad crown on it, and so the amount of work we'd have to do would be pretty substantial to get it up to class one county specs.
Well, it's holding up good.
Yeah. So we kind of figured to just kind of leave that one alone and focus on Boulder South because it gets more truck traffic anyway.
So in terms of needs, can you help us understand the priority on this one, on Boulder South?
It was just one that we put in last year. Butch wanted it back like 10 years ago. The state had milled all that and given us all that milling, so we put in about an average of 16 inches of mill in there, and we just wanted to see how it held up, and it's held up really good. And so the plan was always to put like a overlay on it to get it down that far, you know, because that was back in the day, that was kind of the worst part of the road, and we did a lot of work, put all new pipes, hauled in some pit run, and then we put all the millings on it. So that was the plan, to eventually get it
to where we could put an overlay on it.
So this was just done last year?
This was in last year's budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'd been planning now for like 10 years, you know, getting it to this point. So
after we put the overlay on it, what's the life expectancy of that?
It'll be just like one of our other paved roads, you know. I mean, we'll just have to keep up on it, but it should, I mean, it's held up just the way it is really well for us, you know. I mean, it averages traffic counts about 580 a day, you know, 85% of that's all heavy truck traffic, so it's holding up well, so.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on either one of these?
There's no plans for the part that's not paved. I mean, it's just gravel still. You're going to work on that?
Yeah, we're just going to keep that gravel for, you know,
at this point.
Yeah.
So the focus is just where the roadabout was?
Yeah. Yeah. That gets it down to the fishing access. And that, like I said, that used to be the worst part of the road. That was the part that was so sandy and it washboarded really bad, and we couldn't, no matter how much, you know, till we brought in a lot of pit run and put this mains on it, you know, we couldn't, we were blading it twice a month. So that the rest of the road holds up pretty well. You know, but that bottom down there was the worst, but it's, like I said, you know, we did that like 10 years ago and it's held up really well, so.
So this is a project you'd like to move with next summer, not this summer? Or is that your intention summer?
It was the money, we already budgeted the money, it's in last year's, mm-hmm. you know, this ending budget, but it won't be done till.
We have it so they could finish next summer. But they could maybe do some, yeah, they could maybe do some work and then just kind of weather dependent.
Okay. So that's just information for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eric.
Bar Crossroads.
Done.
Pretty much done. Billy thinks it looks good, so I know they're gonna spread a little topsoil and do some seeding. But I'll get the plat and resolution over to Skyler to review, and that one should be a wrap.
Good. We'll be done.
Yep. Yeah,
it turned out really good.
Okay.
Actually improved the hill.
Yeah, a lot. That hill. Yep. It's a lot nicer.
Other than that,
that's all I got.
I got one question.
Okay. Mike, come on up.
I got a call, I think it was 2 days ago, from a private individual. Wanting some just small rocks that they could just load in their vehicle, and just heard about from the last commissioner meeting about the rocks available on the forest. And, you know, I said, you know, we have to show a public benefit if we're going to take anything off forest. And one thing I wanted to bring up is there is that portion of the road that goes through private. So you've got the Lake Ridge subdivision and Main Pass on the other side of the road. And that's a private right-of-way that the county has, and I wanted to get a decision from you folks to see if you thought it would be amenable to allow people with a truck and trailer, or equipment for that matter, to clean up the rock in that section. If there is equipment involved, then we would go through the same process with them, but if it's just a truck and they're hand-picking smaller rocks, just wanted to find out what options might be available there.
So I can elaborate if you'd like, Mr.
Yeah. Bill.
The Forest Service permit that we have says it has to go to public benefit, wherever the rocks go, and it's spelled out in this new permit. So for a private citizen to come get rocks that don't go to public benefit will actually break the contract with the Forest Service.
Is that all rocks, including those on private land?
No, and that's where Mike's come up with this alternative that we can do what we want with the rocks that are on our property.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, in my opinion, I'm in favor of this lady going and getting a pickup load of football-sized rocks, is the way she explained it, off of our property, because that doesn't influence the Forest Service contract at all.
How do we
And how are we going to manage that?
Well, yeah, how do we provide oversight to make sure they're picking the rocks from the right place?
I think we still use the same, you know, if anybody wants to get rock, they still have to come to us. We have a drive-through with them for any contractor that comes to us. We figure out what kind of equipment they're using. So if there's heavy equipment involved, then we go over what kind of temporary approaches they need, what the material needs to be, where the staging area is, talk about safety for the traffic. But the same thing will be for, you know, small, you know, truckload or small trailer that you're hand loading. Just come up with a plan, just make sure it's safe and about how many rocks they want to take.
So my thoughts are that, Mike, is right now, when we're moving large quantities of rocks, the contractor is bonding to make sure the road's okay, and they're also paying us that minimal fee for your management. Mm-hmm. How's that going to work with some private person that wants a pickup load? Is that going to be kind of a pro bono, suck it off the big guy?
I think on something small like that, if they're not going to be using bigger equipment, we're not going to make them clean up these areas, because you're not talking about very much. They're going to just cherry pick what they want, where it's probably easy to get. We're not talking about much rock. There's not much effort from our end. We just sit, you know, we give them some mapping and go look at it. Maybe it's not much time from our end, so I wouldn't say that we would have them bond it for something that small.
Okay.
But that is your decision.
Mr. Chairman, so the private that you're talking about, who's the private?
It's Main Pass on the east side, and then it's a subdivision on the west side. And that's just past the first cattle guard, Doug, just as you get down towards the lake. There's a section through there that the county's got right away on top of private land.
Okay, so does that, I guess the question I have is, does that require private authorization to do this?
Not within the right of way. We just need to make sure, I would express that to the people that request it. You know, these are the limits. It's fenced. We've got steel post right of way markers all the way through it, so it's pretty clear, you know, where it is.
I think it's a benefit because we're also getting the rocks out of his right of ways for his snow removal situation, so, and it's an avenue to help the public get access to small quantities.
I don't have a problem with it as long as you see that it doesn't jeopardize the contract or the agreement with the Forest Service.
Yep. It has nothing to do with the Forest Service permit.
And I guess I'd just like to point out the safety fact is make sure that you explain to them to get off the road and stay out of the traffic areas.
So, Mr. Chairman, I guess this is going to be limited to private individuals with their own means of picking them up. I guess what I think would be unfair to the public is for one of our contractors to move in, gather up all the rocks, and then sell them at a huge profit to the same people that we're trying to benefit. And I would like to avoid that.
Good. Okay. So we'll just limit it to small operation for, you know, whatever use they have for it. Then is that correct?
And if there's rocks that are too big, well, then nothing's to prevent us from picking them up and putting them in our stockpile for riprap wherever we need them.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And it's not a real big section, but yeah. Sounds good.
Any other comments? Are we in agreement then?
So I guess, Mr. Chairman, I have one other. So is an individual, and I'm just for my information, mm-hmm. Mike. So, me, for instance, if I come in there, am I going to be limited to the amount of rocks or the amount of times I go in there? In other words, if I get busy and I gather up some neighbors and say, hey, man, here's all these rocks, let's go get them. So, can I go get 20 loads or just two or one? What do you have in mind there?
You know, that's really, I think what we've...
You want to get rid of the rocks. Mm-hmm.
We do, and I mean we've got a good plan in place on Forest for contractors to be able to get rock, and it depends what it's used for and what equipment you need to get it. As far as hand picking goes, I don't think there's any limit on it. I think they should be able to go in there as much as they want, and you know, as long as they go through their proper procedures with us to get the permit, you know, and say, here's the stipulations or whatever, and go in as much as they want, handpick that. If it requires equipment, I think it's fair to say that we don't want to go down that road on this specific piece. And if they want to do that, then they can get with us and go through the way all the other contracts have been going and clean up these sections of forest. And at those whatever allotments that they choose, then we like to have them cleaned up. So whatever rock they're after, we just want it cleaned up as they move through it, so that it ends up looking like the BLM sections up there. So is that make sense?
Yeah.
If you're in agreement, that's the way I'll manage it. If that's how you want it done.
Any problems? Any misunderstanding? Everybody in agreement?
I think we're.
Just be clear that even if they're a private individual doing that and they involve equipment other than handpicking, then they go through the same process.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's our understanding. Yeah. And that'll be up to your administration of the your request.
Discussion.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? I guess you got your direction then,
Mike. All right.
Thank you.
I was just looking at Holly. She loves rocks.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Billy, anything else?
No, I think that's all we got for Roone Bridge Waste Management. We're starting another round of water testing. Today they're out of the transfer station and out of the Daniel yard doing those. The free dump days went good. Big Piney went really well. We had pretty good turnout down there. Last Saturday here, we had 225 vehicles come. So it went really well. Had not too many issues. But that was people really take advantage of, you know, you guys letting them dump for free. So that was good. Other than that, that's all we have.
Mr. Chairman, Billy, I've seen several trailers coming from the north. Are they starting to clean up, or is there still much snow in the Hoback Ranch?
They started bringing in one house.
Okay, that must be what it is.
Yeah. And I guess there's a couple more scheduled to come. They let us know.
Very good.
They let us know which house is coming in, mm-hmm. and everything, and we keep track of all that. So there is. They haven't even brought over 100 ton yet for this one house, so it's kind of, but it's starting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Billy, I know there was a little, I don't know whether it's concern or not, but the overflow from new construction being mixed in with the cleanup, do you see that as an issue?
I haven't yet. I know that they're going to have in their parking lot up at Hoback Ranches, they're going to have some containers and that's, you know, and it's kind of for right now because in the mud season and stuff, it's kind of what, I mean, we can tell, you know, you can tell when you empty them what, if it's new or, I haven't seen anything yet. Everybody's been, the companies that are hauling in that have been really good about letting us know. I've talked with, you know, Tri-County, M&M, Idens and all of them, and they've been really, all of them that are pretty much hauling from up there, they've been really good about telling us and then, you know, and letting the people know up there that, you know, it's just for the stuff that burned and stuff like that. So I haven't had any issues yet, but even, I'm sure we'll have some because they're leaving, you know, they're kind of leaving some containers in the parking lots for people to throw stuff in, so. But like I said, right now they're all aware, knowing that it's new construction and stuff like that, that they have to pay for it. So I haven't had no issues yet.
Okay.
But but we can, I mean, we can tell. I mean, as we dump it and we compact it and stuff, you know, I mean, you know what's new and what isn't. So if it is, then I'll address it.
Any questions for Billy? Comments? Okay. Thank you then, Billy.
All righty.
Thanks, Billy. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
See you, Mark.
Our next item on our agenda is Jeremy Silcox, the director of the Van Vleck House. Jeremy, if you could come up, we'll be glad to listen.
This is the one we took initiative on to figure out.
Yeah, that did something. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How are you, Jeremy?
Good morning.
Good. Thanks. Good. How are you folks this morning?
Good.
Good. So, yeah, I was invited down to discuss our budget request for the Van Vleck House for the upcoming fiscal year. Just to recap quickly, the Van Vleck House is located in Jackson and serves Teton, Sublette, and North Lincoln counties. And we are a group home and crisis shelter. And we serve kids generally in the age range of 10 to 18 who are in need of some sort of maybe out-of-home supplemental care due to mental health crisis or homelessness or abuse and neglect situations. So in the group home, kids that come to that program are court-ordered. They can be court-ordered because of a need for protective custody, because of a domestic violence situation. They can be court-ordered as what's called a child in need of supervision, which is a child who's basically ungovernable by their parents, or kids who have broken the law in some way. And that's a court-ordered situation. And that typically is they're court-ordered to us to complete our program, which is about 6 to 8 months, which is a therapeutic program which provides individual counseling, family counseling, and support in a therapeutic environment and allows kids to stay involved in the local school district, involved with their families. They're able to have home visits and practice skills at home. And really keeps kids closer to their home communities. The crisis shelter is a voluntary program. It's we try to keep it one time a year, up to 30 days. We can do up to 60 days if things are really not getting better. But generally, kids that come into that program are usually home within about 20 days. And roughly 75 to 85% of those kids we never hear from again. So that program is very effective in helping kids and families get back on track, maybe take a break, get some help, get some direction in where they need to go next, and get them referred on to other programs and services, typically back to referrals back to the counseling centers here in town, or maybe a doctor or something of that nature. Sublette County, I think in the last year, we've had a slight uptick in numbers of kids placed, both in use of crisis shelter and in use of the group home. But still, it's on the order of, you know, 3 to 4 kids at the crisis shelter per year, and maybe 2 to 3 kids placed in the group home per year. So this year, I did update our budget numbers. I think the numbers I've used in years past have reflected maybe just how things were done. I sort of picked it up from my predecessor and just kind of kept the budget numbers where they were. And it sort of became obvious this year that what we've been, you know, assessing as far as a daily rate, I think was under what our actual sort of total operating budget was. So what I've done in here is recalculated what the actual cost per day is but that still doesn't change what the overall request is from Sublette County. We're still requesting $45,000, and we only request that when we have a resident in our program. So we've used a voucher system, so when a kid comes in, that's when we start making the request against that $45,000. Once that $45,000 is used up, that ends our request, and we'll, you know, make do with private funding and other means to support those kids. The state does pay a per diem as well to support kids in each of those placements, but what we're paid for by the state, you know, is far below what our total operating budget is, and that's why we request additional money from the counties, and I think that has worked really well, and I know in the past that's worked well for you folks in terms of, you know, knowing that the money is specifically going towards kids from Sublette County. So with that, I'll see if you have any questions.
Jeremy, on the crisis shelter, is that part of the program not required court ordered placements?
That's correct. It's completely voluntary, so it's a parent typically that will place a child with us, mm-hmm. and that can be, you know, my child is struggling in school, my child is leaving home at night without, you know, telling me, you know, and it can be for any number of reasons. You know, my child's fighting nonstop with me and won't, you know, so that, yeah, is completely voluntary on the part of the parent. Kids can check themselves in, actually, but within 2 days we have to have a parent's, you know, approval. That happens very rarely, but that is possible too if a kid is really concerned about their safety.
Okay, so my question would be for our deputy county attorney, Matt, are we facing problems with that from the legal standpoint or from our fiduciary responsibility by just allowing members from the public at large to check in and take care of their bill? Is that an issue?
You're talking about the voluntary placement?
Yes.
In my mind, it's discretionary on the part of the commission whether you want to continue to fund that activity or not. I don't think there's no statutory obligation to do so, but I know historically the commission has allocated around $45,000 or $50,000 for those sorts of things. I'm not so sure on the court-ordered placements. If we do, I would imagine we have some sort of statutory obligation, but I'd have to do a little more research on that. And but again, in my mind, the voluntary placements, I see that as a discretionary action on your part.
And in the past, Jeremy, with the way we've been operating with this setup, do we frequently use that $45,000?
The past two fiscal years, it has not been. This current fiscal year, we did reach $45,000.
And in those years that don't, what is that money just rolls over to your account? Or
no, we don't. You know, it's completely, we invoice you for that money. So
I see. So it's just,
so it we're holding in the your money. Budget, yes. Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good.
Mr. Chairman, did I understand it correctly then that the $45,000, if in fact we allocate that, just goes to folks, kids from Sublette County?
That's correct. Yeah, it's invoiced as those kids come into the program per day that they're in the program.
And if it's not used, it remains in our
coffers.
Right. Yeah. Any other questions for Jeremy? I think it's been a good working arrangement. I think it's been helpful to our kids, and mm-hmm. I think we look forward to working in that basis.
Okay. Yeah, we agree. We appreciate serving folks down here. We have a good working relationship with the local Department of Family Services. I also think with the courts as well, and, you know, I think some of our work has been also to just improve those kids that do come to the crisis shelter. They don't get enrolled in school up with us. They do stay enrolled down here. So I think that's been an improvement too in terms of being able to use technology more efficiently as far as keeping in touch with their teachers and in touch with school. You know, I think we've seen a really big improvement in terms of them being able to stay up to date with school.
Sounds like a good safety net for that.
For sure. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.
I don't know. I'll leave that one up to you. moving on, I think we have Janet, if you're ready to come with your cooperative agreement for us to sign.
Yes.
To approve.
This is our annual cooperative agreement that we sign with the Department of Family Services. It sort of outlines our responsibilities as the clerk of district court in inputting data on different kinds of cases that would require child support and might further require enforcement of that child support that's been ordered by the court. Mike Crossan and the Attorney General's office have both reviewed the contract and already have their signatures on it. And it's yours and mine and then a couple other.
Okay. So I think I would, oh wait just a minute. Timed out. So we will make, we need to have a motion to approve this and then I'll sign it. But when Commissioner Gosman comes back to the table, we'll take care of that. So basically, this is an agreement between the Wyoming Department of Family Services, Child Support Enforcement, and the Sublette County Clerk of District Court.
Correct.
Is this the same one we've had for years?
It is.
Yeah.
They've changed it slightly over the years. We used to receive payment for inputting the information, and we no longer receive that.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion to approve this cooperative agreement between the Department of Family Services. So moved.
Second.
They moved in second. Thank you, gentlemen. Did you get that, Carrie? Any discussion? If not, all signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. And I will now sign.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Okay, we now have a little bit of a recess or break. Our next agenda item is 10 o'clock. For those of you that came in late, I'll update you on the amended agenda. The 10 o'clock agenda item for broadband was removed from the agenda, and in lieu of that, the Fire Chief Shad Cooper was placed on at 10 o'clock to discuss awarding the bid for the Type 6 fire apparatus. That'll be at 10. In addition, the 1:30 discussion item with the Sublette County Rural Healthcare District and the Sublette Center Board was also removed from the agenda, so that won't be on this afternoon's schedule either. So, I think we'll have a short recess. Commissioner Nobel.
I'm good.
Mr. Chairman, the Rock Springs District BLM manager, Tim Wakefield, had walked in the room, and I went back and told him we'd already did the presentation at 9. For some reason, he was under the impression it was at 10. So
it's too bad.
Too bad, but he headed down to the BLM office.
And you thanked him for coming.
Thanked him for coming.
Thank you. Okay. So we'll take about a 10-minute break till our next agenda item.
Thank you.
discovered a place, Joel, that's not wet.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
In Sublette County?
Inside my tabby barn. I had a pickup load of salt yesterday, and that's where that sucker's parked. Gee, it was white there at home again this morning.
Oh, we were white this morning.
Yeah. Okay.
About 28 degrees.
Yeah.
Had about a, I don't know, half inch of snow.
I didn't mean to catch
you. Yeah, we might have had somewhere in that vicinity.
It wasn't nice out.
But it,
sick of it.
Well, if you, you know, if it wasn't so sad, it'd be funny. But
yeah.
I'll tell you, it's just putting us in a bit of a pickle.
I don't know what, how we're going to get on the mountain. Hell, they were 30 inches of snow at the forest boundary. And God, it...
Well,
it takes a lot of warm weather to melt that snow.
And then you got to have the grass show up.
Then we got to have some grass. Yeah.
They can plant it on it, but I think they've run into some, oh, how should you say?
Mr. Vickery, so how you been?
I've been wet as well. How's fishing in this weather?
It was good, but I had to do something that I haven't done in 20 years. I had to put the top up and the sides on my boat and put the flap between the where you walk to keep, you know, just keep the moisture out. But
I need to be there.
You know,
I had this friend come from Cincinnati.
So you trolled for those?
Pretty good discussion about, you know, how my branch has been planted and getting more dug on the ground.
You can see it was kind of out.
And that led to Lincoln and Sussex.
Just so I can ask you to work
about it. Rather than Simpson County trying to go forward on their picture, maybe we could work in 2002.